rain. Now this was a particular difficult problem for them because Baal was the god of rain. But Elijah didn't worship Baal. So Elijah went to King Ahab, and I don't know if you can imagine going to see King Charles and saying, excuse me, I don't know if he bowed down or anything like that. I don't know if he said, Your Majesty. It just says in the Bible that he went to see the king, and he said, in 1 Kings 17, he said, in the name of the Lord, the living God of Israel, whom I serve, I tell you there'll be no more dew or rain for the next 2 or 3 years until I say so. In the name of the Lord, the living God. And then he rushed out quick. Oh, sorry, you could have done that for me, couldn't you? And then he rushed out quick because he didn't want to be in trouble with all the people who worship Baal. And they, because they were thinking, that's all right. You know, we can get the rain. We just worship Baal. So Nathan pressed the button, and then you'll see what happened. There was indeed a terrible drought, which led to a famine. And God looked after Elijah. That's another story, really. Some of you will know it already, by sending him to a brook where the ravens fed him, and then to a widow in another country, even. But then the Lord said to him, go and see King Ahab. So press the button again for me. And here's Ahab and one of his servants, and he's pointing across because he's saying, we've read this already, but I'll read it to you. It says, so there you are, the worst troublemaker in Israel. And now, press the button again, imagine that the king said to that to you, and you have to say back to him, I'm not the troublemaker, you are, you and your father, for disobeying the Lord God. Just imagine having to go to the palace or to the royal family. Well, the king came to him in that case. And then press the button again, and he said, the trouble is, most of the people don't know what to believe. Just like Emily was saying before, lots and lots of people around the world don't know whether to believe in God or not. I meet people who'd love to believe in God, but they just can't. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he believes that Jesus was a real person, because he says there's lots of evidence for Jesus, but he doesn't believe Jesus was the Son of God. And he doesn't believe in God, and I think it's partly because he can't see him. And I think that was part of the problem. Well, we're going to sort this out, said Elijah. Go and get the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asher and get them together. Press the button again and you'll see where they had to go. On the map here, I don't know if you like maps, I love maps. My mum taught me all about maps, so I have maps on my phone now. I used to have all the other maps, you know, but I now have them on my phone. Jerusalem down the bottom, that's nothing to do with this story at all. This story is centred on Samaria, which was the kingdom of Israel. So there's two parts of Israel at the moment. Judah at the south, and they called it Israel, based on Samaria. But Elijah said, let's go to Mount Carmel, right up in the north there. So it's quite a long way they all had to go. And I guess many of the prophets were based in Samaria, and the king certainly was, and the queen. And they all had to go up to Mount Carmel, because that's where Elijah, they would meet up. And then, press the button again, Elijah turned to the people and said, make up your minds, let me read it to you. It's here, but we've read it ourselves together. How much longer will it take you to make up your minds? If the Lord, and the Lord is in capital letters, remember, Yahweh. If Yahweh is God, worship him. But if Baal is God, worship him. And the people didn't say a thing. So, this is a bit of the gory bit. I'm sorry I left that into the Bible reading. I nearly took it out, but it is in the Bible. So, you know, the bit of a bit about bulls and things like that. Some people are a bit squeamish, and if you're vegetarian or vegan, you might not have liked that bit. But it's what they did in those days. And they said, let's have a sacrifice. I suppose the equivalent would be our service of worship, really. I don't know, but let's have a service of worship. And instead of setting fire to the sacrifice, we'll ask God to do it. That'd be easy enough, wouldn't it? So press the button and see what happens next. Is it working? It's good enough, is it? Oh, sorry. Try again. No, there's a little switch on the side. We got it, yes. Here we go. So Elijah, being a very generous person, said, there's so many of you, you go first. Now, I don't know what you think about that picture, but there's not 450 people around that, and maybe 400 others. So some of them are going around their altar and their sacrifice, and they're praying, oh Baal, send down fire. Oh Baal, send down fire. Baal hadn't managed to send down rain for the last 2 or 3 years, but here we are. Send down some fire, please, Baal. And he didn't. And press the button again and you'll see Elijah's getting a bit fed up, and he starts to tease them. And this is what he says in the Bible. It says, at noon, Elijah started making fun of them. Pray louder, he's a god. Maybe he's daydreaming or relieving himself, you know, going to the loo. Or perhaps he's gone on a journey, or maybe he's sleeping and you've got to wake him up and press the button, you'll see what they did. It was worse and worse. And some of them started even using knives, you can see there. I chose this picture rather than some others because then you don't actually see the blood. But there are some pictures you can get on the internet which show that as well, which is not very nice. Anyway, absolutely nothing happened because Baal wasn't a real god. He couldn't do it. He was a statue. Asherah was a statue. They just thought that he and his consort were real. And Elijah had set this up because the Lord told him to. So now, press the button again, Elijah, sometime during the afternoon, they'd spent most of the morning and lunchtime and all that doing that business, Elijah had to mend their altar to the Lord Yahweh, the Lord God. And he started putting the stones up, 12 stones, as it was told, as they were told to do that, and then press the button again. And he put the animal on the top. We'll just move over that quickly in case you're squeamish. And then he started digging a trench. And the other prophets, hey, I hadn't done that. Digging a trench, what are you doing, Elijah? And he's digging this trench, hold loads and loads of, it would hold loads of water. And that's what he asked for. So press the button again and you'll see they're actually pouring water onto this sacrifice. It's not paraffin, by the way. And it's certainly not petrol, it's water. And did you notice there was a problem, it could be a problem with water. Anybody think what the problem with getting some water would be? There wasn't any. It hadn't rained. But Mount Carmel, if you noticed on the map, is quite close to the sea. So I wonder whether they sent them down to the sea. I don't know. If they did, it would be quite a long way. And they had jugs or big jars of water they had to put down. 4 of them. Right, pour it all over. And some people are saying, what's he on about? And if you've ever been to a camp or been lighting fires or anything like that with flint and steel, or probably rubbing 2 Boy Scouts together or something like that, it's really hard to get damp wood to light. I always make sure I've got a supply of really dry kindling wood if I'm lighting fires in the open air with children and young people. But Elijah was doing what God said. And he put all this water, and once they put 4 jugs on, he said, do it again. So if they had to go and find this water, oh no, not down the mountain again, and bring it all off again. And then he said, do it again. Until the whole thing was sodden and there was water everywhere. And then Elijah stood back and looked at it all, and everybody else looked at it all. And I just love to imagine the scene on top of the mountain, absolutely quiet. There was 850, just prophets there, never mind all the other people. Must be amazing. And Elijah stopped and looked up to heaven. It says here, he approached the altar and prayed, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, prove now that you are the God of Israel and that I am your servant and have done all this at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so that this people will know that you, the Lord, are God, and that you are bringing them back to yourself. And press the button, because then that's a prayer showing you he's doing the prayer. And then, almost immediately, press the button again. And I thought in honour of that, and in honour of the time of year, we'd just try one of these, or a couple of these. See if it works. I don't think it was anything like that, by the way. But I thought we should have some fire just to celebrate the story of Elijah and praying for fire. Notice, it probably took the Lord no longer than it took me to light those 2, and he sent down fire. I've got a fire blanket, it's all right. Oh, you're going to turn the lights off so people can see it better. You saw how quickly I could light those. Well, I think the Lord God sent down fire on the sacrifice like that, and it says in the Bible, the Lord sent down fire and burnt up the sacrifice, burnt up the wood and the stone and the stones. It scorched the earth and it dried up the water in the trench. And when the people saw this, they threw themselves to the ground. Press the button again, and you'll see how scared they were by what God, the Lord God, had done. And they all said, the Lord, he is God. Press the button again, and you'll see what an amazing thing it was. And Elijah was saying, make up your mind. And this was a really dramatic way of doing it. Press the button, and we've got a wonderful
Elijah
video.
And the prophets obey.
Quick, quick. Do you want to say it again?
Press the back button
and then press the other button. And now press
Elijah
it again.
And the prophets obey.
Press the button again, please. And I just, as I was preparing for this morning, I was just thinking, I wonder if God is speaking to someone here about making your mind up. Or maybe there's somebody you know who needs to make their mind up. It may be that you haven't made your mind up for God ever, and you're not sure. But seeing this story, perhaps it helps you to believe that God is really true. But a lot of us already do know God and have made up our minds to follow God. So I wonder if there's any other decisions in your life that you have to make up your mind about. And I wonder where the Lord fits into those. Because all too often, if it's me, I work out the pros and cons. I even write things down sometimes. And I try and work it out myself. But this story reminds me that when we make up our minds, it should be the Lord God. And Emily's going to help us for just a moment or two with that before we sing our last song. Thank you.
Again, just really quickly, I think this leads on really nicely to what is coming up next week. So we're doing a light party next Tuesday, which falls in half term. And we've done it every year, and it's been really successful, actually. In fact, this year, I haven't had quite so much interest. I don't know if it's half term. So I would appreciate your prayers that it's a successful event and we have a good turnout, because I think it's an important thing. And we've done it early because it's in half term, so that if people want to go and do the alternative afterwards, they've got that option. But the importance is making up your mind. So I got this lovely book about a child who's got the choice between a Halloween party at school and a light party, and it's sort of emphasising the difference. And I think actually this is a really important time for people this year. Just to sort of explore other options and looking at light rather than, you know, Halloween is a bit of a controversial thing, and it's not really a Christian thing, and it is very much exploring the dark side. You know, I say to the boys, okay, you've got friends, I know you want to do things, but I'm not buying any Halloween costumes. You're not wearing scary costumes. If you want to walk around with your friends, that's fine. If you want the sense of community, that's fine. If you want to go to the parties that they're having, but we're not doing scary costumes because that's not what we do. And that's our choice, and people make other choices. But I think it's a key thing about making your mind up. And when Steve and I had a chat, I thought, actually, I'm going to try and incorporate that into the light party in the hope that we've got people that come along just to see what it's about and then to read that story with us and see there's another option. And, you know, have some fun. I think Jan's got a fun activity with, you're doing some spiderweb cakes or something, aren't you? We've got lots of glow sticks and light party activities, a few games. It'll be a bring and share tea. So, and it's, you know, it's early enough that it'll be dark, but people have still got the evening free. So, you know, if anyone's got any grandchildren or friends, anyone that is around in half term that you think would like to come along, do get them to come along, because it will be a lovely afternoon. So that's 3:30 to 5 on Tuesday the 31st of October, right here. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. Can you press the button again, please? And maybe one more time, because we've got a song to finish with. And I chose this song partly because I know people here like it, and Emily and I were talking about it, and said, oh yes, can we sing that song? But actually, Elijah wasn't always such a powerful and strong man of God. You might be saying, well, it's all very well for Elijah to go into the king's presence and Elijah to tell all those thousands of people to make up their mind, but what about me? I couldn't do that. Well, if you just want to read the next chapter, you'll find Elijah running away. You'll find Elijah hiding under a tree. You'll find Elijah depressed. You'll find Elijah saying, where is God? You'll find Elijah hiding in a cave. And so it's okay to decide for God and still have doubts. It's okay to still wrestle with what you believe. It's okay still to fail. So let's stand and sing about my lighthouse.